Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Lately, I've come across whites who are engaging in what you might call a sweeping panic of defeatism. Whites running for the hills, metaphorically. I've noticed how whites have been backing down and jumping around mentally with this latest shooting by Robert Bowers. And there are things I want to discuss with you because I've had quite a long time now to observe and be part of the alt-right and the white right, and I've had a chance to learn about the personalities and the philosophies of many different websites and prominent people on the white right. And having had a chance to observe these people, speak to some of them at various times, and just generally observe how people react to things, there are things I want to tell you about us whites and why we are losing and how we can win, but the path that we have to take in order to win. Also, at the time that I'm recording this, Gab was shut down for a couple of days, and Gab then managed to find itself a new service provider, and Gab has been up again. But the first thing I've noticed is I couldn't find Alex Linder on the list. I wanted to copy him on a message. I couldn't find Alex Linder. And then I went and I looked at my own following, and I knew what my following was before Gab went down. And I went and I looked, and to my horror, I saw that I must have lost 40 or almost 50 people off my support base. But the one thing that was always a certainty on Gab was that my support base never fell. On Gab, I didn't have people leaving me and moving off suddenly. On Gab, I found that unlike Twitter, people who followed me stuck with me. And in all the time that I was on Gab, my support base kept growing. So the removal of 40 to 50 people on Gab is a thing that concerns me. I suspect that Gab has been running around deleting profiles of people who espouse all kinds of violence and anti-Semitism, because I've noticed that Gab seems to be against Nazis all of a sudden. Yet Nazis were the backbone of Gab. Gab was where everyone could speak freely. And being a supporter of Nazis was a critical part of that. So one of my fears is that we're going to find that Gab doesn't allow anti-Semitism. But Gab is still a good thing. Gab is a great thing. Gab is the best thing that ever happened to us. And Gab has definitely shown that there's a place for us. I think, however, that we need harder core platforms. We are going to need pro-Nazi platforms. We're going to need something like that in the future. So let Gab show you that, yes, at one point we were gathering together in vast numbers. We were agreeing with each other. We got along absolutely fine, apart from the odd Jew who came onto Gab and was busy screwing things up. On the whole, everybody had a much tougher attitude. It was really great. It was the way that Twitter was at one point. There was a time when on Twitter we were pretty wild. There was a time maybe about 2 to 3 years ago on Twitter where we were pretty wild. And we could say almost anything and nobody took notice. Until the Jews came and brought it to everyone's attention, and the Jews saw to it that management came and removed all of us. But now there are some of you who will say, oh well, you see, the reason that Gab has gone down and that all these things happened is because you were hardcore, because you were Nazis, because you were anti-Semitic, look now at what's happened to you. So in this video, I want to deal with the reasons why we lose, and I want to deal with a number of points to explain to you in detail why it is that we are losing, and the various options that are open to us if we want to win. If we as whites want to successfully defend ourselves against white genocide, if we want to turn things around for our race, if we want to survive, then what are we going to do? And what are our options? And you need to understand some of the detail, otherwise you're not going to be thinking clearly, and we're going to carry on going in circles. One thing that I've observed about the Anglo-American sphere of things is that people go in circles, especially if you live in England. I've had quite a lot of contact with whites who come from England, even whites from South Africa who've moved to England. And I got to tell you, once you get into England, then part of your brain leaks out and you start going backwards. Hey? I've noticed that even the South Africans who live in England, their minds are so rotted by the culture of the English, the Jewish culture of the English. Their minds are so rotted that they cannot think straight. And the big thing that's happening is that whites are not thinking straight. They are running around, ducking and diving, and doing all kinds of strange things. But we need to ask ourselves, what is going to work for our race? What is the way forward? How is our politics going to succeed? What is it that is holding us up? In my discussions with Tom Metzger, and looking at what Tom Metzger had done, we in 2018 are doing a rerun of the 1980s, except that we aren't anywhere nearly as strong as we were in the 1980s. In the 1980s, there was a lot more energy, there was a lot more strength going around. Tom Metzger talks about how boring it is in 2018, because we are back to square one, because we've lost all our ground. And Tom Metzger is right in that sense. But also, if you go and look at what the Germans and Italians achieved before and during World War II, you will see that we have to walk through the same path that they walked through. And we've been trying to do it since World War II in various countries. And we've been trying to do it in the 1980s in America. And here we are in 2018 and we are trying it yet again. But every time we're getting smacked further down, and every time we are able to make less progress, and there is less that we can regain than the time before. Now, why is this? Why are we losing and why are we going further backwards? And recently, even before this shooting, I was observing how whites are doing their politics and how we are doing our white right stuff. And I'm starting to see a couple of things that I think are the reason we go backwards, the reason we go downwards, the reason why we can't break through into the mainstream and actually sweep away our enemies. Firstly, I believe that in most of the Western world, in fact, all of the Western world, except for South Africa, whites can win politically through elections. There's no reason why the white right and the white Nazis cannot win through elections, through voting. The only people who are not in such a position to win through voting are those of us whites who are in South Africa. We cannot win directly through voting. Although I must tell you, our politics is so totally weird that it wouldn't surprise me if one day, decades ahead, we actually could win in some ways using the electoral system, even though we are outnumbered. But that's a whole other topic. That's a whole other topic. We in South Africa have to find a way to win without having the benefit of the ballot box. But all the rest of the whites can win through the ballot box. All the rest of the whites can win through sheer numbers. Despite your numbers dwindling, you can win through sheer numbers. You have got the facilities to do it. So winning through politics and elections would be the first and most important task for the white right outside of South Africa. Make headway, try and get people into politics. Start getting your stuff out there. Start getting into Congress. Start getting into parliaments. Start getting yourself voted into certain positions from which you can work. That is there now. You should grab it with both hands and run with it. This stuff of worshipping Donald Trump, who's not a racialist, we are projecting onto Donald Trump values that Donald Trump doesn't have. We are projecting onto Donald Trump leadership qualities and beliefs that he isn't going to honor. It's not part of the way he thinks. He's not a racialist. We must therefore create the leaders that we want. We must create the leaders in America and Canada and Europe and Australia and New Zealand. We must create the white leaders that we want. And if I didn't say Europe, then I mean all of Europe. Europe needs lots and lots of hardcore white right leaders. Europe especially. Europe is the most critical part of our race. We need white right leaders who can stand up and fight politically, legally, through the system in order to try and get into positions of power. However, what you're going to find is that just like Mussolini, just like Hitler, you're going to find that the moment you start doing your politics legally, you are playing by the rule book. You are doing everything that you are allowed to do by your constitution. You are going to find that the Jew comes along and the Jew is going to make things difficult for you, if not impossible for you, even though you are legally entitled to it. It is a similar thing to what you see Jews doing in business across the world. And it's very, very prevalent here in South Africa. Whites cannot get into major business. The Jews make sure that they either get monopolies or, much more commonly, oligopolies. They have a couple of businesses. They dominate an industry. They see to it that they destroy anybody who could be competition for them. They continuously work to keep people down. You have stacks and stacks of white people who want to start businesses, who want to start making money, and the Jew comes and sees to it that they drive those people out, that those people don't get business, that those people aren't promoted, that they don't get to high levels. You are going to see that whenever you meet the Jew on some battlefield somewhere, you are going to find that even though what you are doing is legal, is honest, is totally condoned and supported by your constitution, by your legal system, by your government, you will find the hidden hand of the Jew coming and pulling the carpet from under your feet. The rug will be pulled out from under your feet, even though everything you're doing, you are supposed to be allowed to do it. The Jew is there with so many tricks to stop you from moving forward and to hem you in for all kinds of bogus reasons. Take things like political correctness. Political correctness dominates the thought of America and Europe. But show me in the Constitution, Show me in the constitution, in the legal system of any of those countries, show me where political correctness was voted for and approved by everybody. Because it doesn't exist. Political correctness is a thing that was never created by governments. It was never created by judges. Yet it is a cultural feature that exists and totally dominates those leaders, those governments, even the police, even the judges fall in line with political correctness. But political correctness is not legal. Political correctness is not in the Constitution. Yet, it exists. And political correctness can come and destroy you. But it's not a legal thing. It was never approved. It was never voted for. So how is it that something which basically is illegal, how come that thing is able to stop you? How come that thing can stop tens of millions, hundreds of millions of whites dead in their tracks? I will tell you why. Because the Jew has learned certain cultural powers. The Jew has learned the power of gaining control of part of your mind. The Jew is a master at controlling the minds of people. Even if the Jew cannot control your entire mind, your Jew can control small parts of it or substantial parts of it without you even being aware of it. The Jew is a liar. The Jew knows that once you start believing certain things, you will act in accordance with what you believe. The Jew knows this. This is one of the big secrets of the Jew. It is the power of the word, and it is a critical, critical power. Until you can grasp this, you cannot grasp why these Jews keep on winning in all kinds of situations where they shouldn't be winning at all. And political correctness should be the first and most important thing that you are aware of, whereby the Jew is able to use a non-legal method to still influence absolutely everybody. Political correctness at its basis is basically illegal. Political correctness is a form of censorship. Political correctness is a form of mind control. And there it is, and it's at work, and it's got hold of the minds of people in Congress, people sitting in parliaments, in Senate seats, people who are judges, people who are business people. Business people will waste millions and billions of their monies based on this rubbish called political correctness. Everybody believes in political correctness, yet political correctness is censorship. It is against the constitution of most countries, yet it's become the ruling paradigm. And hidden in there also is this concept of anti-Semitism and racism. Nobody voted for these things. These things are not legal. And yet these things dominate everybody, dominate everybody's actions. Companies will smash people. Businesses will fire people. People's careers will be limited. And it'll be done on the basis of something that is not legal. Something that is not in a constitution. Something that is even in direct contradiction of things in constitutions. Yet this thing will win. And therein lies one of the powers of the Jew. One of the critical powers of the Jew. But, does this mean that only Jews can do this? And the answer is no. We whites can go and create anything the hell we want. We whites can go and create our own culture with our own values that can fly in the face of everything else. And we can get it to our people, and we can get our people to act on that, and we can go forward in a way that nobody will be able to stop us. That is within our power, if we can get control of the minds of our own people. But my critical point here is to show you that the Jew is able to win even when he flies in the face of the Constitution, even when he flies in the face of what is legal, he manages to win. And he's doing it all through ideas and concepts. And putting values into people's heads, values which are bad for them, values which contradict even the legal system, even the Constitution, the Jew manages to get some stupid idea into one of our heads and we believe it and then we act on it to our detriment. So one of the things that you're going to have to realize in life is that as you try to move through this system where the Constitution says you have the right to free this, you have the right to that, you have the right to that, that even as you start doing things legally, correctly, and things in line with your constitution and your government and your legal system, you will find to your absolute amazement that everything that you're allowed to do, the Jew can come and dog you every inch of the way. The Jew can come and cut you off. The Jew has come and demonetized how many people on the internet. The Jew has destroyed channels. The Jew has destroyed social media. The Jew has cut off millions and millions and millions of dollars of monies that people were earning, either by selling books, by putting up videos, by getting advertising. The Jew has destroyed all these things. All these things which people were allowed to do has been destroyed by the Jew, and nobody in government is running to go and take control of the Jews. The Jews have got them in the palm of their hands. And all these upper class and elite garbage are actually cheering the Jew on. They're saying, oh yes, you know, anti-Semitism. We mustn't let anti-Semitism spread. We mustn't let racism spread. Here are white people, who are not even willing to support their own kind. They are happy when their own kind are losing. Oh, racism. Yes, racism. It's something that we must counter. What a load of garbage, okay? And this should show you that the Jewish parasite has got all kinds of people in the palm of his hands. And he is able to play so many games only with people's minds. The Jew doesn't need a gun. The Jew doesn't have a gun. If he had one, he wouldn't even shoot well. The Jew is an idiot. But the Jew is a practiced liar. And the Jew knows what kinds of weak little things people will fall for. And the Jew is always there, ready to market a malicious idea to people who are weak. If you speak to the Jew will direct you in a path to your own self-destruction, and he'll do it with a smile. The most foolish thing you can do is to listen to the Jew, because that is how the poison gets into your head, and the Jew starts messing with your logic. And that is why all these people in high positions, rich people, people with all kinds of fantastic skills, you'll get scientists who are highly technically skilled in their field, and yet their mind will have been rotted by the Jew. Professors who are highly intellectual, highly capable, their minds will have been rotted by the Jew. Why? Because they are weak. Because they are not able to think clearly. But the Jew is ready to market something for you. There's always a poison that he's willing to market to you if you are stupid enough to ask him. In my view, white people should stop listening to Jews, stop listening to blacks, start thinking for yourself, acting for yourself, and if you see something that is a danger or a threat to you, your race, your nation, you should act on it. Act on your thoughts. Look at your perceptions of what the enemy is and go after him and do something about it. So returning to our politics, you are doing everything legal. You are doing everything by the book. And the Jew is going to come and screw you around and maybe even totally destroy what you're trying to do, even though everything you're doing is legal and within the constitution and the law of your country. So you're going to find that even as you try to be an honest, good citizen, that the Jew is going to come and take away your money. The Jew is going to come, smash down your following. The Jew is going to destroy hundreds or thousands of hours of your work. And the police are going to sit there smiling. The police will never lift a finger to go after the Jew, because the Jew has got so many tricks and so many ways of excusing his malicious behavior. The Jew will be found to not have broken the law. And even if he broke the law, it's because he's such a good person and because he cannot stand this hatred that he sees. Meanwhile, he's the biggest hater of the lot, but he keeps it to himself. He keeps it within his malicious little group. Now, those of us who value the truth, and let me tell you, the truth in its proper position, the truth is God. Okay? The truth is as important as God, even more important than God. The truth is the most valuable thing that exists. The truth is the core of all scientific progress. The truth is the core of all historical, political, and all other progress. The truth is the core of civilization itself. We seek the truth through science. We seek the truth through detectives. We seek the truth through legal structures. The most valuable commodity that white people, and in fact all people on earth, are seeking is the truth. All of civilization is based on nothing but the truth. But the Jew doesn't work like that. The Jew is undermining that thing. If you are trying to move your politics forward based on the truth, you will find that even the truth comes and gets torn apart. You are doing things legally, you're trying to tell the truth, and yet you will find that all of these things are dogged, and the Jew is coming and smashing all these things up. He is destroying the progress of the truth. And if your truth could win, then our entire race and civilization would leap forward in massive ways. But the Jew is there to suppress that because he works on the lie. And the lie is very useful for weak people. Most people have their times when they are weak, and the Jew is waiting for you. And the moment you are weak, he's there to slip some mental poison into your head that will see to it that you never become stronger, that you live in a state of continual weakness. I was telling some family members of mine, in my efforts to try and teach them the truth, I was telling them that the entire white right, the politics of the white right, is based on the history of just a handful of countries. That in actual fact, events in certain countries form the basis of the entire white right. And those countries are Germany, the Confederate States of the USA during the American Civil War, South Africa, and Rhodesia. These four countries alone are responsible for most of what is the white right. But if you dig some more, there are many other countries that can fit into that. There are many other countries that also walked paths that are very instructive and very useful. I forgot to add a fifth country. There is a fifth country that's very critical, and that is the Bolshevik Revolution and the Jewish slaughter of 60 million whites in Russia. The White Right is formed around the Bolshevik Revolution, the events that happened to Germany, especially before and during World War II, the Confederate States and the illegal war that took place in the USA, South Africa, the Boers, and Rhodesia. These five countries form the basis, the core of the white right. However, there are many other countries that can be added into this, because when you start digging into history, you will find that whites have run into similar problems all over the show. Countries that are never mentioned but are very important are countries like Portugal. Portugal's colonial wars to hang on to its colonies in Africa, most especially the war in Angola, the war in Mozambique. These are critical topics, and the actions of the Portuguese and the fine things that they achieved under great hardship is something that is never spoken about. And it's a topic I'm going to come to because I feel very strongly about what the Portuguese did in Africa and that it was right. And that the Portuguese were actually even winning. They were actually winning. They were doing great stuff in Africa. And it is a disaster for Portugal and for the whites of Africa and for the whites of Europe that the Portuguese lost. But there are also other countries. There is Spain, for example. Spain, like France, like Germany, like the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Spain is one of, let's call it, the four great European powers. Europe, over the last 1,000 or so years, has been dominated by one of these four powers, or more of one of these powers at the same time. And those countries are Spain, France, Germany, and the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The Austro-Hungarian Empire existed for a very long time and was a very powerful thing. And I'm a fan of the French in some of the things that the French did. Every one of the white nations that was out there in its time of greatness, each one has done things that has been unique and useful. And I'm a big fan of the Spanish. A big fan of the Spanish. The Spanish, like the Portuguese, have done many good things. And in the days when I knew P.W. Botha, the last true president of South Africa, he told me that the Spanish and the French were very friendly to South Africa. The French were the most friendly of all the European nations, of all the major European nations. But the Spanish were also friendly to us. And the Spanish were helped by the Germans and the Italians to get Jewish communism, Jewish British Soviet communism out of their country. And Spain was friendly to the whites of South Africa afterwards. But Spain is a critical country because Spain has been lied about by the Jews like you cannot believe. Spain is a very important country. Spain in its day was a superpower, and the Spanish did a fantastic thing. They did something that no other whites have done. They chased the Jews out of their borders and kept them out for 500 years. The Spanish achievements in some of these things are really astounding. Not to mention the kinds of conquests and the military victories that the Spanish achieved. I have lots of respect for Spain, and we're going to come back to the enormous Jewish lies about Spain. The Spanish are fantastic. They're among the finest of our whites of Europe. They're right up there. They are a match for the Vikings. They're a match for others. We've had lots of people in Europe who've rocked and rolled, whether they were the Finns or the Swedes or the Vikings. We've had incredible people, incredible things come out of Europe. And some of the Europeans in more recent times have shown what they are made of. countries like Hungary, countries like Romania, even little Croatia. I've learned a bit about the history of Croatia, tiny little country. There are some shockingly amazing things that come out of different European countries. Bulgaria also had its day. Whites have done amazing things when they've needed to. And there are many whites that you can learn from. And there are even whites who moved to other continents and places like South America who also did great things. The people of Chile, for example, in their fight against communism. Chile was a close ally of South Africa in the days of apartheid. The Chilean Navy used to come to South Africa, and the Chileans took care of communism. They went and they killed communists. They didn't muck around. There are lots of whites who've done great things. And all of the achievements of all of the whites outside of those five major countries that form the basic philosophy of the white right, all the others need to be brought in as well. There are things that we can learn from all of our kith and kin in other countries. And I must admit that tiny little Finland has packed some serious punch in modern times. Tiny little Finland has left dead communists by the fucking million. So we've got lots of great people, lots and lots of great people who can form the basis of the white right and whom we can all reach out to and bring our brothers and sisters into our fold. There are lots of whites who've done good things for other whites, I can tell you. I know of white South Africans who live in France. They're happy to live in France. I knew of lots of Rhodesians who ended up in Spain. They loved Spain. We've got lots of good stuff. We've got lots of good stuff, lots of good people, lots of things we can learn from each other, and many people we can draw in and learn from. But those five countries that I mentioned to you that form the sort of basis of the white right, the sort of central core of the white right, that is important. Because in all these cases, we are looking at lies. And of course, the lies go back and back and back. And we know that there are other lies and other things that worked against whites, that Jews worked against whites. Now, let us look a little bit at the people who are trying to spread the truth. There you have very successful groups who've been trying to spread the truth about the white right. We've got the Daily Stormer, who've been a phenomenon in recent years. We've got Renegade Tribune that does great work. We've got Stormfront that have done awesome work. They were the number one for a long period of time. We've got lots and lots of websites, Occidental Dissent, White Nation Network. The list just goes on and on of people who've done excellent work, Radio Werewolf. People who've done excellent work in spreading the truth. Now, among the core truths that have been spread is how whites have been killed and murdered through the instigation or even the direct intervention of Jews. How whites have been slaughtered by the tens of millions in Russia. How Germans were starved to death. How Germans were left to die out in the open and in the cold. That the Americans deliberately set out to murder Germans, to murder Germans who'd surrendered at the end of World War II, to murder them by the million. There are lots of examples that we have of whites being slaughtered who were innocent. Now, whether these were German soldiers, German civilians, fried in Dresden, Boer women and children, all these various atrocities that have occurred against whites. And you also have other things that happened, like to the whites in the South in America, where after they lost, how the carpetbaggers and others came to destroy the South, and how the South clandestinely fought back and created the KKK and managed to regain control of their lost land. In that sense, the whites of the South of America, the Confederates, are the same as the Boers. Where the Boers lost, their farms were destroyed, their animals were killed by the British by the million, and yet they stayed around and they built their place up again, just like the Germans and the Italians and other Europeans did in World War II. Other Europeans I might as well mention that did great things are the Romanians, the Italians. You know, there are whites who've done so many good things. And all of us can learn from each other. All of us can support each other. But anyway, just carrying on with the websites. We've got lots of websites who've come out and told you the truth. These websites have told you how Germans were even murdered at Nuremberg. High-ranking German leaders were executed based on all kinds of bogus charges. And even had guys like Eichmann, who was taken to Israel, put through a bogus trial in Israel, where he even lied to the Jews. He lied to the Jews in support of their own lies, and the Jews lapped it all up. It was total crap. And he basically showed that the Jews are talking shit, and the Jews are willing to accept shit and execute him based on pure shit and nonsense. There are lots of whites who've died and fought and struggled for various principles that are important to our race. And if it wasn't for all these truth-telling websites, nobody would know about it. But thanks to all these websites, they've now put out lots of information. Lots of information. And we can see how our own people have not just gone and been tricked and cheated out of money like we've been experiencing in recent times. The things that have happened to us, like us being driven off our social media, being vilified in the press, far, far worse things, things millions of times worse have happened to other whites. And we know those whites were innocent. We know those whites stood up for real principles. Our politics, our information, our thinking is not about small things. It is not about nitpicking little things. It is about enormous crimes, enormous injustices that have happened that have resulted in the deaths and torture and slaughter and rape and cruelty of vast numbers of our people. Our politics has a seriousness about it and a depth to it that is massive. There are enormous lies, enormous, incredible lies about hideous things. It should be clear to you that our message and the things that we are talking about are very, very important. They're important to whole nations of whites, whole nations of whites who are trapped in a Jewish hell. They are very important to our race as a whole. We are sitting with whites in jail in other countries who aren't even criminals. They're in jail because of their viewpoints. They're in jail because they tried to spread the truth. They're in jail because they tried to do things that are good for us. It should be obvious to you that our cause is deep and our cause is very intense and that there are huge, huge things at stake here. So it becomes a kind of a joke when you consider that you have websites coming out and telling you about the slaughter of whites in Russia, the slaughter of Germans, all the different hideous, hideous things that have happened to our people. And then, the moment that something happens that works in our favor, the moment that somebody on our side decides to hit back, when a single loner like Dylan Roof or Robert Bowers or Anders Breivik or somebody goes and tries to hit back, that when a single white man by himself decides to hit back at the enemy, by himself on his own accord, of his own initiative, and he's willing to face death itself, we suddenly find that people on our side suddenly run for the hills. You know, the 1 minute we're talking about 500,000 German women and children being fried to death in Dresden, and that the British were hoping to actually kill 1 million women and children. And then the next minute, when a white guy goes and he pops some Jews, or a white guy goes and he pops some blacks, suddenly the entire white right falls apart. Suddenly everything is thrown into the wind. Suddenly Dylan Roof or Robert Bowers is some kind of Jewish agent, or it's a false flag or something. Suddenly everybody loses their nerves. They lose their nerves completely. Here we are sitting with huge crimes, things that have happened to whites, things that are very deadly serious, and somebody on our side gets so worked up and he decides he's going to take some racial corrective action, and he goes, he knows that the Jew is never going to be brought to book in court. He knows the Jew will never be brought to book in court. We know the blacks get away with these things all the time. We know the blacks get away with murder. We know all the games that are going on. And we know the legal system, the police, the FBI, the government, that there is never going to be punishment for these people. So somebody on our side decides, what the fuck, I'm going to do it myself. And he goes and he pops some of our enemies. And then the rest of us all suddenly fall apart. Oh God, no. No, we didn't condone this. We didn't support this. I've been getting lots of messages from people, I must tell you. I get emails from people as well. People that I know well, and some people I even respect. I saw a message that came from somebody the other day. I will never in my life repeat to you the email that I saw the other day. I will never tell you who it came from and who said what. I will never, as long as I live, reveal what I saw. But I will tell you, I was disgusted into the ground when I saw what came out of there. Because the person it came from is somebody whom I regard in high, high esteem. And this person should be held up as a hero for the rest of our race for all time. But I won't tell you what I saw and heard that apparently came from that person. It disgusted me. It showed me that there is too much weakness in our side. We are too weak when it comes to certain things. We are happy to sit around and watch white people getting murdered and killed, and white people being cheated out of everything they've done in their whole lives. We've had to sit by and watch whites get destroyed under all kinds of bogus pretenses. And then the moment that a rare white man gets up and goes and smacks the enemy, then everybody loses their nerve. Everybody loses their nerve. Now let me tell you a few things about politics and life. Here in Africa, the blacks did not really want communism, and the blacks did not really have much interest in any kind of thing. All the whites of Rhodesia, except for two Rhodesians, myself and Arthur Kemp, all the whites of Rhodesia will never speak about racial things. They will never talk about the fact that it was a black-on-white struggle in Rhodesia that was started by Jewish communism. They will always sit back and they'll always think of the happy days when we had happy blacks. The white Rhodesians used to have a great boast. Their boast was this, that we had the happiest blacks in Africa. Yes, the Rhodesians boasted time and again that we had the happiest blacks in Africa. That our blacks were the happiest people of all. They were better cared for, their morale was the best. We had the best blacks in Africa. We had seen to it that they are the happiest blacks in Africa. However, along comes Jewish communism. Jewish communism comes to these very happy blacks, starts talking all kinds of shit to them. Many of these happy blacks say to them, no, no, no. We're not interested in this stuff. We don't want to work against the white people. So what do the communists do? The communists come, the black communists come, they try to indoctrinate them. They see, ah, no, indoctrination's not working. Talking to them about communism and Russia, nah, this isn't working. These people aren't listening to us. So what do? They start using violence. They start using violence against the blacks. They start saying to the blacks, you will support our side or we'll kill you. You will support our side or we'll cut your lips and ears off. And I can show you the photographs where they did that to black people. And they went, they tortured their own people. They cut their body parts off. They made blacks cook their own body parts and have other blacks eat it in front of a crowd of people. The reason that the whites lost in Rhodesia is because the whites were not as brutal as the enemy. In one of my interviews with J.B. Campbell, you can hear it right out of J.B. Campbell's own mouth, that J.B. Campbell went and saw a place where a black terrorist had been given orders, go to that village, find that black guy, chop his legs off. And as Campbell said, the guy's got to go, find that other black guy, chop his legs off, and come back and report that his legs have been chopped off. And if he doesn't go and chop the other guy's legs off, he himself will be killed. Now, the real lesson of Rhodesia and South Africa is that this stupid communism that came to beat us came and won on the basis of brutality. They came and they killed any black person who didn't go with their political agenda. They would first come and say to them, listen, this is this and that's that, and here's why we have to fight the whites. And if the blacks did not accept that, then what happened is the blacks were tortured or beaten and beaten and beaten and kicked and beaten until they accepted the political message. At the end of the day, the reason the blacks won is not because they were the best debaters. It is because they kicked and beat and murdered and smashed and threatened their own people until they got in line. And they forced them in line through violence, violence, terror, violence, and more violence. That is how they kicked and beat their people into a common front to face whites in the face of bullets and everything else. This is how the happiest blacks in Africa, whether they were in Rhodesia or South Africa, and in the case of South Africa, the blacks were the best looked after blacks with the highest standard of living in Africa. How was it that the happy blacks of Rhodesia and the blacks of South Africa with the highest standard of living in Africa went and turned on the whites who were so good to them? Well, the answer is cruelty, viciousness, and unity, regardless of the terror and the hideous means that were needed to achieve it. They managed to beat and terrorize and murder their own people. In South Africa, the process of necklacing was invented to take care of traitors. We were beaten by an enemy that was far more determined than we were. An enemy that knew no moral bounds. An enemy that was willing to do anything in order to win. They were willing to do anything, even to their own people, in order to win. The whites were not like that. The whites did not like cruelty. The whites never practiced cruelty and torture on their enemies. The whites never went and practiced cruelty, torture, and terror on their own people. When the black communists of Africa hit a roadblock, any kind of roadblock that prevented them from winning, anything that now stopped them from moving forward. They would focus on that thing and they would use any means of viciousness or cruelty in order to win. There was no limit to the kinds of immoral things that they got up to. They used any conceivable means until they got past it. Never imagined that they won because they were nice guys playing by the rules. They broke any rule that was needed to. And the liberals and the Jews sat back, looked at where the blacks were stuck, and the liberals and the Jews created the intellectual conditions that allowed the blacks to do their immoral things that they needed to do in order to win. The black communists of Africa were extremists, and the Jews, the international media, the liberals, all played a critical role in allowing them to move to new levels of extremism. And if you look in America, you will see that that is exactly what the Jews and liberals are doing in America right now. There is nothing that stops them from moving to new levels of extremism. The only people who are not tending towards extremism are the whites. But look around you, look at the left, look at the liberal, look at the Jew, look at all your enemies, and you will see they are finding new and more aggressive methods of extremism. And they are getting away with it. And they create the conditions that allow extremism to work and thrive and prosper. If they saw that their people weren't listening to them, they went and beat them. And when they beat them, they would beat them literally into a pulp. They would beat them and kick them and break them until they listened. Or they'd kill somebody outright in front of everybody else until they listened. You've got to understand that in this world, whether you're dealing with the Jew in the political sense, or the Jew and the communist hell that he creates, or the Jew and his liberal hell that he creates, that the Jew does not play by the rules. The Jew will break any rule in the book, and the legal system, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, none of these police forces are going to put the Jew in jail. Okay, the Jew commits many crimes. The Jew commits many crimes that are not defined as crimes. The Jew carries out actions that are not defined as criminal behavior, but it allows him to engage in criminal behavior. He sets the cultural tone. He sets a tone that makes his extremist behavior seem good, seem beneficial. So when he comes with political correctness, anti-Semitism, racism, which all of it is a form of censorship. It is a form of anti-free speech. Holocaust denial is the biggest one that just should hit you straight in the face. All of these things, he's taken his rubbish concepts and made them a thing that can be used against us. He has basically created a mechanism that allows him to fly straight in the face of free speech. Free speech, your free speech. He can shut you up. He can remove your right to free speech, even though your right to free speech is enshrined in your constitution. he can take it away because he's created a cultural value system that quietly overshadows even the Constitution, even the law. The Jew can go and train the police on how to deal with anti-Semitism. The Jew can go to the FBI and assist them in identifying racists. The Jew can go and get information on us and send it off to Israel. He is able to move around things in our systems that we're not allowed to do ourselves. He's allowed to bypass our freedoms. He is able to criminalize what is actually our rights. He can demonize us even when what we are saying is true, even when what we are doing is legal. He can turn it around and criminalize it and turn people against it and remove money, funding, support, turn newspapers and governments and presidents onto people who are just trying to do the right and honest thing for themselves, their nation, or their race. If the Jew can come and break the rules against us, then surely that should show you that we too must start moving in the direction where we may need to break the rules. And if we don't break the rules openly, we may have to get to a very dangerous gray borderline where we are edging onto the edge of the illegal. Because we've got enemies who are absolutely ruthless, with no moral boundaries, no ethical boundaries. They will go and murder people, and they are good at getting away with murdering people. They can murder and poison people. We have got an enemy that is able to take our legal, reasonable requirements and bring us to a halt, and even smash us backwards, like with Gab. Gab might now no longer welcome Nazis, so the Nazis may yet again find that we have no home. I saw somebody else created a social media platform, and the guy said this is his platform, but then he said, no Jew haters allowed. Okay, no Jew haters allowed. This is the extent of the kind of battle that we are fighting. We are fighting against people who will break any rule, who will go anywhere in any direction. It gives them a freedom of operation that we do not have. So here's our problem. We have to decide how we're going to move forward. Because the one thing that I'm seeing about the right wing, especially in the Anglo world, especially in the Anglo-American world, if you go and look at the dysfunctional British, the ever dysfunctional British, the British who are a white people who just keep going in circles. The white British will always go in circles. They'll never break out. They seem to be incapable of breaking out. They seem to be almost a nation of total cattle and sheep that are just herded around in circles, and the British are forever going in circles. They never actually break out. A right wing can never arise in Britain, because the British just cannot get their act together, okay? The British seem to be the whites who are the most Jew-controlled. The whole of the society, the culture, the upper classes, the legal system, the political system, the whole damn thing works to break the whites, and they are able to keep their own people under total control all the time. And now and then when a rare right-winger stands up and he tries something for a while, then he moves forward a little bit, and then later everything is smashed down into pieces, as happened with guys like John Tyndall, okay? Britain, for example, seems to be unique among all white Western countries in that Britain cannot create a right wing. Britain cannot create white nationalists. And whatever they create, it's always Jew approved. So the only time the British will become aggressive is when they're on the side of the Jews. Then they get aggressive. But you'll never find that the same happens to them when they are trying to stand up against the Jew. The moment they try to do that, they're just smashed to pieces and torn apart. The British seem to be absolutely incapable of creating a white nationalist thing. They seem to be totally incapable of creating a white right. They just don't seem to be able to succeed. The whites of Britain, they are truly like cattle who are kept in a pen. They are herded into a pen, locked in there, and all they do is they sort of mull around, but nobody can ever get outside of the boundaries. Britain is incapable of breaking out. And I've heard that even from people who were born in Britain, lived there, and are genuine patriots. I've got a friend who was in the Royal Navy at one point. He totally writes off the British, regards them as complete idiots and fucking morons. He says the British cannot save themselves. And I've heard this out of the mouth of many different people. And I've also observed how South Africans who've gone to Britain have changed. The moment they get there, their minds are infused with all kinds of rubbish. And the next thing you know is they're like cattle in that pen. They just keep milling around, you know. Today they're on the eastern side of the pen, and tomorrow they walk to the western side. Then they edge off a little bit to the south, and the week thereafter they're in the north again. But they're always just mulling around, and they never actually break out, and they never actually break out in a direction and get anywhere. This is what the British are like, and I regard the white British as the most controlled whites on the planet. They are totally controlled. Their Jewish-infused system of aristocracy and royalty and parliament and all the paedophiles and everything, that entire system locks those people down. It locks those people down, and they just cannot break out. Their police force is too good. They are too good at spying on their own people and destroying their own people. The British are absolutely dysfunctional as a group of whites. They seem to be the most dysfunctional of all the groups of whites on the planet. They truly are the model by which whites will be controlled forever, because the British seem to be absolutely incapable of arising and defending themselves and winning, even in their own country. Even where they are a majority, they are not able to do it. It is truly terrible. Now, the Americans are a lot better, but still far from where they should be. The Canadians are pure morons. The only people in Canada who had any kind of balls were the German Canadians. The German Canadians eventually rebelled against the Anglo-Canadians, and many of those German Canadians are now sitting or have sat in jail. But at least the German Canadians showed what they were made of. The Anglo-Canadians are absolutely useless. They totally believe in liberalism. They have not hit the wall yet. They are completely, completely mind-controlled. America is still in a much better state. But even in America, the whites cannot break out. And it is shocking that the whites cannot break out in a country where they have so many freedoms. Now, the thing that happens to whites is that when whites start winning, then the system starts looking for certain things. Now, the government doesn't want revolution. The government doesn't want war. It doesn't want terrorism. It doesn't want buildings destroyed. Okay? The government's interest in stopping the white right is that the government doesn't want revolution, warfare, bloodshed, destroyed infrastructure. They don't want that. So the white right gets focused on in case it goes there. Because the white right and its white right history, those countries that I've mentioned before, because the white right has as part of its outlook the acceptance of the need for violence if it is needed. And so the white right is looked on and hunted down because of this. The Jew is even more determined than the white right. The Jew not only accepts violence, the Jew creates violence, the Jew actively practices murder and other forms of stopping whites in the system, but the Jew just never talks about it. The Jew doesn't talk about the use of violence. The Jew doesn't talk about murder. The Jew just murders. The Jew murders without fanfare. The Jew destroys. He goes and breaks the rules. And he's well placed. He knows the people to corrupt, how to corrupt them, how to get his way. So the whites who talk about violence, but almost never practice violence, are the ones whom the police focus on. The Jew, who never talks about violence, but actively practices murder and all kinds of other things to destroy people, he is never looked into. And when he goes and he corrupts people with pedophilia and he starts setting up all kinds of other little structures and conspiracies, everybody just has a good laugh at that. And nobody goes and takes it seriously. Yet that is the structure that is working for him. Here is part of the dilemma that we as white people face. The dilemma is, we all have rights. We all have constitutional rights. When we try and do our politics honestly, openly, telling the truth, telling the reality, what do we find? We find the whole business world and the whole culture and even the government and even the legal system and even the police are suddenly focusing on us. So here we are. We don't commit crimes. We are doing everything that we're allowed to do or supposed to be allowed to do in the free market, in the free world, with free speech and all constitutionally guaranteed rights. Here we are doing these things, and the next thing we find is that the Jew comes along, he plays all kinds of dirty games, and he defeats us. And the Jew doesn't go to jail, the Jew isn't stopped by the system, everybody is happy, in fact the whole system is happy. Ah yes, we defeated anti-Semitism again, we defeated racism. Any white person, whoever turns around and says, ah, it's a good thing we defeated racism. That is like saying it is a good thing that we are destroying our own people. If you agree with defeating racism, that defeating racism is a good thing, then that is like saying defeating white people is a good thing. Because that, at the end of the day, is what this boils down to. Now, the only whites who ever beat Jewish communism are fascists, especially the fascists of Italy, but also the fascists in Spain, are fascists and Nazis. These are the only whites who have defeated Jewish communism physically. They've defeated it militarily. They have defeated it politically. Now, we whites in Southern Africa, we were never fascists or Nazis. We called ourselves conservatives, Christian conservatives. So how did we do against Jewish communism? Well, we found that we could defeat Jewish communism on the battlefield all the time. In fact, Jewish communism, even with the blacks outnumbering us sometimes more than 20 to 1, they were never able to defeat us on the battlefield. But where we were never able to defeat them was on the political field. We could never defeat them politically, and we also were incapable of defeating them with propaganda and media. We defeated them on the battlefield almost all the time. But we couldn't beat them politically, and we couldn't beat them in the media, and we couldn't beat them culturally. Adolf Hitler was doing his legal thing. He was doing politics. He was trying to get his political message across. What did he find himself doing? At a point, he felt that if he didn't do anything drastic, that in actual fact, all Germans would become communists. So he tried his putsch in 1923, and his putsch flopped. And he ended up sitting in jail for his putsch. But Adolf Hitler could just as well have been Dylan Roof. Adolf Hitler could have been Robert Bowers. Adolf Hitler could have been Anders Breivik, or any of the others, or Barend Strydom of South Africa, the White Wolf. Adolf Hitler, in his desperation to do his politics, found himself in a position where he needed to use violence. It didn't work for him, and it landed him in jail. He came out of jail, and he went back to trying to find a way to do his politics, because the Jews were stopping his politics. And his censorship that he faced, because he didn't have the internet, his censorship was that when he had public meetings, when he gave speeches, the Jews would send their communist brethren to come and beat up and break up the meetings. How did Adolf Hitler solve the problem? Adolf Hitler created the brown shirts. Adolf Hitler was trying to do politics legally. He was operating just like we are in the day of the internet. He was doing everything he was allowed to do. And just like us, Adolf Hitler was stopped. And Adolf Hitler could not go and get the Jews into jail for sending their henchmen to come and break up his meetings. So the only thing he could do was to form the brown shirts and to have his own henchmen who would go and beat up their henchmen. So if they tried to come and smash his meetings, he would smash them. So the only way that Adolf Hitler was able to progress was he needed to create a defensive mechanism that allowed him to carry on with his politics. If he did not have a defensive wall that protected his ability to carry out his speeches, which he had every right to do, then he would not have been able to function. He would have been destroyed. The Jew would have cheated him out of his very own rights. So he had to create a mechanism that allowed him to protect himself from attacks so that he could do that which is legal. And that is how Hitler managed to win. Mussolini had the same problem. Mussolini had to form the black shirts. They had to beat the communists up in the streets. They had to go and physically smash them and drive them out. The Nazis and the fascists are the only people who defeated the Jewish communists militarily. They defeated them politically, which no conservative can do. They defeated them in the media. In fact, the Nazi media and propaganda was the best of the lot. The Nazis are the only people who defeated the Jew on the battlefield, who defeated the Jew politically, who defeated the Jew in the media, who defeated the Jew even economically. They beat them on every single score. What does that teach us about our situation? The Jew comes to undermine us even when everything we're doing is legal. It should be clear to you that to remain sitting there in the legal world, that to remain there without finding ways of hitting back at the Jew, that if you sit there, you will be like those British cattle, the British sheep, who are in a pen and can never get out of the gate. you will find that you are herded back in there, that the system comes and breaks everything down, and then there you are sitting. Everybody's been demonetized. PayPal, credit cards, every form of method of stopping money, every form of platform that allows us to spread our message, whether it's Facebook, whether it's YouTube, all those things are being stopped. And what should that teach us? It teaches us that the only people who ever succeeded were the ones who formed new things that allowed themselves to defend themselves, to be able to proceed forward regardless of what the Jew does. The Jew is such a criminal, and he knows how to bend the law, and he can even break the law at very selected points. He can break it and get away with it because the dog shit useless police, politicians, judges are all going to be so weak. And they'll say, oh, we need to combat anti-Semitism. We need to combat racism. Oh, goodness. It's so good that we've defeated the racists again. Okay? Because we've got those kinds of people looking after our interests, while at the same time being very happy to hand over millions of files of every single white person in the white right. Gab has had to run off to the FBI and quickly unload its database on them. The NSA and the ADL have been getting databases on people. This is the weak, wimpish, pathetic, dog shit, useless system that is defending us. We're trying to do the legal thing, and our legal defenders, the one is more useless than the next. The one is readier to bend over backwards for the Jew than the next. We should therefore realize that it is important for us to create structures that are strong enough for ourselves, that we need to find things that will work for us. We need to create some kinds of structures and defenses and hardened things that we can use that will enable us to talk to each other, to spread our message, to be able to carry on with the goal of racial education, political education, fixing the minds of our people, bringing our people together. We need to realize that there are things that we need to build. Now, there are things that we need to build legally and honestly, that must function like that. We need to build a whites-only economy. The most urgent thing that we need is an alternative to Patreon, is an alternative to PayPal. We need an alternative to PayPal that is functioning and can function. And these things are possible. I even spoke to somebody who was telling me that you can create your own international bank. You can create your own international bank that is legal and compliant with all the rules. You can create it for about $10 million. All the rules that you need to comply with, all these things cost about $10 million. And then you can have a bank that can trade as it sees fit. I have another friend who knows a lot about finance. Stacks about finance. He told me that we can even set up our own international credit card system. We can have our own credit cards that nobody will be able to stop. We could set up our own bank. We could set up our own credit cards if we had people with money and people with skill and determination. We could set up our own systems to bypass some of these systems. Probably the most urgent thing to do is to create a PayPal alternative. The PayPal alternative, there are millions and millions of dollars that could be flowing through another company if we could get somebody to create a PayPal alternative. And like I say, we could have an international banking system. I've spoken to guys who know their stuff, and they know all about the laws and the way financials work and so forth. And I've even been told you could have your own functioning credit card that would be legal. Nobody would be able to stop your transactions. Same with banks. But a PayPal system, a PayPal alternative for us would be the first thing. We also need advertising. We need people who would be willing to advertise. People who would be able to pay for adverts on our systems. And then it could help to create a whites-only economy. There are many things that we could do legally that would help us massively. The fact that Gab has been stopped. What we need are new Gabs with new rules. Places where the Nazis can gather together. Where the Nazis and the fascists and the racists can gather together. Because we need to do that. This business that we're not allowed to talk to each other is very wrong. And this will destroy us. If we cannot talk to each other, if we cannot communicate with each other, that is how we are going to go backwards. That is how we are going to go back to where we were. And that is what the Jew is trying to do very hard. We need to counter this. So there are all kinds of legal things that we can do that are absolutely necessary and vital to us, and we must do these things, and we must find ways of making it happen. And there are whites who've created technology that will allow things. There's all kinds of guerrilla technology that can bypass things that companies are able to stop. Things like BitChute that run off peer-to-peer networks. There are lots of things out there that whites are working on that could become very powerful. But we need to make sure that our stuff grows. If we can create a whites-only economy, especially an international one, that allows money to flow between countries and between people, that would be huge. That would be huge. We need to create alternatives for all the things we've lost. We even need to stay away from something like Google, because Google is being censored and Google's search engine is being fiddled with by the Jews and the Indians, and that thing is engaging in a form of censorship. We need to even have our own search engines. We need to have our social media. Everything we've lost, we need to recreate it and find mechanisms that will allow it to function. Maybe whites will also have to get used to things being somewhat inconvenient until we can get our things to be slick enough. All whites who are serious about their race, who are serious about the truth, will have to get used to inconvenience and problems. Things that our enemies have brought on us. And you will have to get used to some level of inconvenience, some level of having to go the extra mile in order to support and do the things that you think need doing, because the enemy is continuously undermining and sabotaging us. Now, if little extra steps are a problem for you, then that shows weakness on your part. And one of the lessons that all of us are going to have to learn is that we're going to have to be able to deal with hardships, with setbacks, and we have to work hard to get around these things. It's not just going to be the stupid world that you're used to, where some millionaire comes, creates something, you press a button, and there it goes. We don't have millionaires and billionaires on our side, because the Jews have already seen to it that no millionaire and billionaire will be on our side. We have to get used to things that come from the bottom upwards. We will have to create these things. These things will be little hodgepodge systems. They won't be pretty. They won't be nice. But they'll be the only thing that we'll have that will function. Whites are going to have to learn that in this serious game of politics, of white politics and white survival, that every one of us is going to have to get used to all kinds of inconveniences that you never had in the past. And if you don't go with those things, then our side is going to be hamstrung. If we are not willing to go the extra mile, if we are not willing to do things even though they are harder, we are not going to progress. If we are going to let ourselves be defeated through simple things and easy things, then there isn't much hope for us. And going back to the Germans, going back to World War II, going back to the Bolsheviks, going back to all the examples of people who fought, whites who struggled for their existence and were screwed thereby. In all cases, those whites had to put up with all kinds of nastiness, all kinds of horrible stuff. They had to put up with all sorts of embargoes and problems, and they still had to carry on. So we should be learning from the whites who did struggle, who did have the courage, who did have the motivation. We need to learn from those whites, and we need to understand that we need those values now. And in ancient times in Rome, in Greece, in ancient civilizations created by whites, whites knew how to struggle, whites knew how to fight, whites knew how to maneuver, whites knew how to do things. We are going to have to go and learn all these skills again. We have to develop these skills again. We have to develop skills that will work in our modern society. But you will find that it's not just technical, that it's also psychological and emotional, that you will need intellectual skills. You will need to have determination because you have an enemy that is working against you, an enemy that is looking for any mechanism that will break you down. And you'll find that you are back in a struggle again. It's just not that you've got a sword in your hand, it's that you've got a computer keyboard. But the principle is the same. And whites are going to have to get used to things that are more difficult and things that are more inconvenient. And if we don't do this and if we don't adopt this attitude, we're not going to go forward. Now, I've spoken about the legal structures, the legal things that we can do that are above board and via the law. But there is something that we're missing. And this is something I've given a lot of thought to. The thing that we are missing that the blacks and others had, that the blacks and the Jews used all the time, was they created a military force for themselves. The blacks used to call these things their armed wing. So the way the blacks did their politics under the tutelage of the Jews, liberals, and communists, the way the blacks did their politics in Africa was they had their political wing. So the political wing just talks politics and political theory and what they need to do politically. But the political wing has an armed wing. The political wing might even be legal. The armed wing might be underground and illegal. But the armed wing goes and does things. And they engaged in a system that was a system of mutual support from the legal to the illegal. So what would happen is the armed wing would go and murder people, plant bombs, kill people, attack places, do various things. That's what the armed wing would do. The political wing would be there giving support and encouragement to the armed wing and getting more supporters for the armed wing. The one might be legal, the other one might be illegal. Later, as things hotted up, the political arm might also be banned. So eventually both of them are banned, but still they carry on because they find for themselves a spot from which they can operate. In their case, there were other countries that would give them bases. So the way the blacks could continue to function when we banned them and jailed them was that they were given bases in other countries and they had foreign support. So they had a support system that allowed them to function outside of our system, even though we had shut them down, banned them, jailed them. And that is what we need. We need to be able to function even when we are banned, even when we are shut down, even when we are made to be illegal. We must be able to continue to function. We must have mechanisms that are hardened that will allow us to function regardless. But the big thing that all whites are missing is a military wing. Now, there are different kinds of military wings, but basically, in a nutshell, you need an army. That's what you really need. You need an army, a thing that can use force. A thing that can use force in all its physical forms, and a thing that can use force in all kinds of deadly forms. Okay? You need a thing that can use force. Because our enemies have no problem breaking the law. And when we do things and we get to a certain point and we're making certain headway, they will break the law themselves. Even if they are governments, they will break the law. You're dealing with people who will at some point, the stronger we get, the more we are looking like we're going to win. You're going to find that our enemy will always start breaking the law and using all kinds of things against us, including murder, including physical force, including physical attack, destruction of property, intimidation of people, all that sort of thing. We have to have a military wing. Now, in America, the greatest military wing formed in recent times was the Order. And the Order went and they started robbing banks and shooting people in order to get money for the right wing. The Order was a fantastic thing. A clandestine army operating undercover. It went and it stole money, shot people, and did what it needed to do in order to get money to the right wing so the right wing can continue with its politics. The Order was fantastic. It's truly an amazing achievement in America, given that you have the FBI and everybody watching the white right in America. The Order was fantastic. And it's probably best for white people that we have lots of different military wings, secret groups, cells of people operating in groups of 2, 3, 4, and also lone wolves, where a white man is a soldier by himself. He doesn't say anything to anyone. He does what he needs to do. So in the age of the internet, I think we can say that we've got some new lone wolves. White men who went and did their own thing. Now, there are some of you who believe that Dylann Roof and all these other things, that these things are false flags, that in actual fact, the enemy set these people up, and that the enemy set them up so that they could defeat us. I have no problem with the concept of a false flag if I can find true evidence that it's a false flag. In the case of Pearl Harbor, we know that Pearl Harbor was basically a kind of a false flag. We know that the Americans were left to die. The American sailors were left to die. They were deliberately kept in the dark so they could be killed, so that their deaths could be used as an excuse for war. We know that 9/11 is the most fantastic false flag of modern times. 9/11 is as powerful as the Holocaust. Total Jew op, total lie, absolute scam, and it's been done to cause the deaths of millions of Muslims and Arabs for the pleasure and delight of Israel and Jewry. So there are lots of websites who quickly rush off and say, no violence. No, we don't support violence. If they are saying that in order that there appears to be a distance between themselves and our wolves, let's call these guys the wolves, okay? The left and the liberals call them terrorists, but really they are the wolves, okay? Anders Breivik, Dylan Roof, Robert Bowers. If we go and we distance ourselves politically from them because we don't want to be implicated in legal stuff and we don't feel safe, I can understand that. I can understand that. But I'm very wary of websites who actively and aggressively go after those guys. I can understand if you don't want to be seen to be supporting violence because you fear that your website's going to be shut down. What I think is negative for us is to claim that these people are enemy agents when there is no proof of that. To turn our people against these wolves when there is no evidence that they are enemy agents. If you don't want to associate and be associated with violence, maybe you should just shut up. Instead of giving the guy bad publicity for what he's done, why don't you just shut your mouth and not comment on the matter? Why don't you just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything about it? Rather than go and spread a lot of lies about a white guy who went and struggled and did something for us. Why spread lies and rubbish and mislead people and even demoralize our own people when someone has gone and smacked some of our racial enemies? If you don't want to be involved in violence and don't want to be seen to be condoning violence, then why don't you just shut your mouth on your website instead of attacking these people? That might be better. You don't have to comment on everything. So greet it with silence rather than pouring scorn on some white guy who went to do something to hit our enemies. Because I'm quite sick of people who come up with all these theories that all these different people are Jew puppets. And that the FBI is this and somebody created that. If there's no evidence, then just leave the thing be. Rather than spreading lies and rumors and trying to find dirt on this guy, let the guy be. Because in the case of Dylan Roof and Robert Bowers, both of them have death sentences. Dylan Roof has already been sentenced to death, I think. Robert Bowers will get a death sentence. I will bet you that those guys knew before they did this that they themselves may have to die. And at the very least, you should at least accept and allow and respect the fact that those guys know they are going to die if they do this. And they've done it anyway. Here we are as white people talking about wonderful white values that white people used to have. That white people used to be brave. That white people can engage in self-sacrifice. So here is one of our own who is brave, who is going to engage in self-sacrifice. Dylan Roof's first target was a black state senator. He asked for him. People showed him who the guy was. He was the first guy that Dylan Roof shot. Dylan Roof's very first action was a political assassination. His very first move was a political assassination, a successful one. And then he went and shot a whole bunch of other blacks at the same time. You know, while he was in the groove, he finished off a whole bunch of others. And he even told one of the victims, he said, "I have to do this." Dylan Roof was driven to doing what he did, and he worked out his plan, right? Now, that whole business there of Dylan Roof carried out a successful assassination of a black politician who was associated with Hillary Clinton. And Dylan Roof then went on to pop a whole bunch of other blacks at the same time, indiscriminately, which I don't have a problem with, because in Southern Africa, the blacks have been killing the whites indiscriminately. The blacks have even been killing blacks indiscriminately, I might tell you, by the hundreds. Dylan Roof carried out a function that would have been the kind of thing that an armed wing would have carried out. If we had an armed wing, it would have done things like what Dylan Roof did. The difference is Dylan Roof did it alone. This guy, Bowers, who went and popped some Jews. Here we are talking about tens of millions, hundreds of millions of whites, maybe even more than 100 million whites, who may have been killed by Jews. And we've talked about how terrible Jews are, how hideous they are, what a bunch of scum they are. And finally, a white guy goes and he goes and pops some Jews. He has attacked our racial enemies. He has done nothing different to what the blacks in Africa have done. The blacks in Africa have attacked white people in churches. They've thrown hand grenades into churches of whites and shot into churches of whites. What these white guys have done is no worse than what blacks have done. Blacks have done way, way worse things than that. Under the influence of Jews and liberals and communists, they've done all these kinds of things, much worse things. And now white people want to run away. Oh God, Robert Bowers, why did he shoot those Jews? No, no, let's, oh. If you're going to get into a panic over one white guy popping a couple of Jews, and this is the kind of panic you get yourself into, then I want to tell you, this is no good. If we have got people on our side who attack our racial enemies successfully, then why do we run around like a bunch of idiots and fools and we don't praise these guys? If your politics is all about the fact that white people have to be victims forever, if that is what your politics is about, if you are only willing to sit back and watch whites be defeated, driven back, defeated more, lose more power, be cheated, defeated, screwed around in every conceivable way, and all you want to see is whites just struggling and losing more and more and more, and you are just going to sit around maybe for the next 50 years and watch our entire race be destroyed. If that is the way you're going to approach this, then I don't see how you are going to be part of the solution. If you are going to sit back and only cry over our losses while not being willing to support any kind of firm action in defense of ourselves and in pursuit of our agenda to survive, then I don't see why we are even doing any of this political stuff. If everybody wants to just play victim all the time, then we are never going to win. We are going to be like those British who are like cattle and sheep in a pen who never get out of the pen. The Germans did get out of the pen. The Germans clawed and fought and struggled their way out of the pen. That is the story of Adolf Hitler. So you have two choices. Either we sit back and we are victims forever and we mull around like those British who never go anywhere, Or you try and break out like the fascists in Italy and the Nazis in Germany. There's a quote by Mussolini. Mussolini said, "It is better to live one day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep." The Romans and the Greeks used to believe it is better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. If it is your intention to spend the rest of your life living on your knees. Oh, and let me add in a quote from Napoleon. Napoleon said, "To live defeated is to die every day." To live defeated is to die every day. So between Mussolini, the Romans, the Greeks, and Napoleon, you can see the kinds of attitude they have. Let me add in one from Hitler. Hitler said, "He who wants to live, let him fight." That is the attitude of our race at its finest. The Romans and Greeks firmly believed it is better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. This is the attitude of our race. These are the values, the true values of the greatest people in our race who've ever lived. If it is your intention to live on your knees forever, then so be it. It is, however, extremely hypocritical on the one hand to talk about the evil of the Jews, the evil of the blacks, all their hideous deeds, the women and children who've been murdered, tortured, raped, all the hideous, hideous things that has happened to our people. And to sit around and talk about it with no intention of actually trying to have a political mechanism that is going to go forward and address this and fight back. And this brings me back to those English who are always in that pen. Because the Americans also end up in that pen. The South Africans also end up in that pen. Where you have a white right. The white right does want to defend itself. The white right does want to fight. And then what happens is there is something that goes wrong. And then the white right is broken up. And it's incapable of handling the pressures and the things that come onto it. And then the whole thing falls apart. You get people who come who support the white right. They are willing to believe in the ideas. They are willing to believe in these things. They are willing to stand up and show courage. And then if you get to the position where something goes wrong and the leaders start falling apart and nobody wants to take responsibility and suddenly they are angry at their own people and you get the David Dukes who don't support our people who've gone and smacked some of our enemies. You know, when you get to the point where your leaders, and in this case, the leaders are all websites, okay? Our leadership is composed of website owners. If you now get all these website owners who now say, "Oh, no, no, we distance ourselves from Dylan Roof. We distance ourselves from Robert Bowers. We distance ourselves from everybody. We didn't talk about this. We didn't mean this." Firstly, you're a hypocrite. Secondly, you're a freaking coward. And above all, you are clearly showing that you don't have the guts, the balls and the determination to push your politics forward. For the white right to succeed, the white right is going to have to face a politics of intensity that comes from an enemy that is absolutely determined to smash us at every inch of the way, every step of the way. They will dog us in every conceivable way. The white right is not a place for wusses. The history of the countries we are looking at, the values that we are pushing, the things we admire about our race, about our ancestors, all those values speak of struggle, of determination in the face of unbelievable odds and struggle and strife and enemies. Those are the values that we represent. How can we represent those values, teach those values, get everybody to think about those values and embody those values, and then in the next breath, the moment the slightest thing happens, we run away and we say, no, this is not what we wanted, this is not what we believe in. You know, there was Ben Klassen, the man who wrote the White Man's Bible. Ben Klassen, who came up with the term Rahoa, racial holy war. Ben Klassen would have totally approved of the actions of Dylann Roof. He would totally have approved of the actions of Robert Bowers. He said this is a racial holy war. There is no space. There is no space and no place for any kind of surrender and giving up. We must do everything that we can do in order to win. There are no ifs and buts about it. Now, that movement that he started, creativity. When Matt Hale was destroyed and the Jews tricked him and they got him into jail, creativity then went into its own death spiral. Creativity then had to suddenly turn on Matt Hale and say, oh, no, Matt Hale wasn't, you know, what we stand for. We stand for something else. And immediately, the moment that you do that kind of thing, you lose a lot of ground. You lose a lot of ground, including among your own people. You are suddenly seen as a weakling. You have been preaching harsh, tough things, and now when it comes to visit you, now you're backing down. And that is what the white right does everywhere. And they push you into a corner. They break you with all kinds of things because they don't want the white right to even exist. So they use all kinds of high-level tricks that come at us, and then they destroy somebody or something. And when that happens, and everybody else now suddenly has a shock and is in fear and backs down, that is wrong, okay? That is wrong. The creativity people should never have distanced themselves from Matt Hale. Never. They should have said, Matt Hale is our guy. He's in jail for the wrong reasons. We stand by Matt Hale all the way. That's what they should have done. Instead, they backed down. And that is what virtually everybody is doing. Everybody except Alex Linder. Everybody is doing that. Everybody's talking about how fucking evil the Jews are, how fucking ruthless they are, the lives of whites that they've totally fucking destroyed. And then the moment when someone goes and whacks a Jew, then everybody's like, hands up. Oh, no, God, no, we didn't support that. We don't support that. Oh, we know that 17 million Germans died in World War II. Most of them were murdered after World War II. But, what is the difference between the lives of 17 million Germans and 11 Jews? Oh, 11 Jews, much more important than 17 million Germans. You know, the moment that you have that weak, wussified, pussified kind of approach to your politics, we're not going to win. We're not going to go anywhere. When it comes down to the crunch, when it comes down to the crunch and the hard stuff, if you're going to go and give up on your own side and suddenly run for the hills, abandon support, everyone abandon ship. You know, if that's how you're going to approach politics, that is just a fucking loser game, I must tell you. That is a big fucking loser game. We whites are going to have to learn to grow some balls if we want to really make our racial politics move forward. The difference between liberalism and racialism and right-wing is this. The liberal appeals to all the weaknesses of your character. The liberal appeals to every form of weakness and deviance and laziness in your character. He wants you to believe all kinds of rubbish. He wants you to sit in a little corner, to just press the voting button and to do nothing else. He is there for the weak. He's there for the weak, for the spineless, for the hopeless, for the stupid who will not learn, for those who cannot face the reality of life. That is what the liberal is there for. The liberal is there to preach the supremacy of business, the supremacy of the Jew and the businessman, and you will be just the little old voter who will go and press the button for the correct Jew or liberal or traitor to win. The right, the white right and white nationalism and the right wing is a completely different animal. The right wing stands for the traditional values of our race, for the great achievements of our culture, for the glorification of whites who stood their ground, for whites who struggled, for whites who were truthful, for whites who were hardworking, for whites who were hard fighting, for whites with great intellectual achievements, whites with great technical achievements. We stand for the greatest things in our race, the greatest values in our race, for courage, for men defending women, for women looking after their children, raising their children, teaching them the right things. That is what we stand for. We stand for deep values, values that go back thousands, tens of thousands of years. We are a race of warriors. We are a race of explorers. We are a race of conquerors. That is what we stand for. That is what we are. And that is what our political platform is to look at the past, the greatest things we did in the past, look at them and prepare ourselves so that we can do similar things in the future. We are glorifying the past because we want the future to be just as glorious and even more fantastic than ever before. And all of our values are based on truth, are based on courage, are based on self-sacrifice, are based on struggle, are based on hard work. Our values speak about loyalty to our people, determination, teamwork. Unity. All these things are what the white right is about. Andrew Anglin redefined the white right as American nationalism. Oh, stop it, man. That's rubbish. Total poppycock. Our race is bigger than that. You cannot go and pick up old dead nationalism and now say, oh, that's the future. That's nonsense. Our race is greater and grander than that. Our values are deeper. No, we're not a bunch of old useless conservatives who lose all the time and who love Israel. Our values are about determination, struggle, work, unity, the glorification of our intellectual achievements, the glorification of our military achievements, and all the many things that we've done. That is what we are about. That is the greatest of our race. It is things that individuals did, even on pain of death. They went and they conquered and they sought and they did things. They took risks. Our race is all about risks. No race takes as many risks as us. And here we now want to throw all that into the wind. Whenever something goes wrong, whenever some leader is taken down, his followers fall apart. Everybody renounces him. You know, like I say with Matt Hale, Matt Hale is the perfect example. Everybody runs for the hills. That is so wrong. That is so hypocritical. We preach one thing, and then when we come under a bit of fire, then suddenly we all fall apart. And we are too ashamed to admit that we support somebody. We engage in a lot of self-defeat. And until we learn that there are certain things that we need to do, then we're just not going to go forward. If you go and look at George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party, they asked him on Canadian TV, what is a Nazi? Rockwell said, a Nazi is first and foremost a racist. There's John Tyndall, who was a great force in Britain. John Tyndall said that he never, never, never denies the charge of racism. Because the moment that you say you're not a racist, the moment you deny these things, you are opening doors to other things. The moment you say that you're not a racist, you now find that you are basically undermining your very own position. Not only are you undermining your own position, but your enemy can see the moral and spiritual weakness in you. Your enemy knows you're a racist. And he says to you, hey, you're a racist. And the first thing you do is you say, no, 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 I'm not a racist. This is not really what I am. You're already looking like a loser. You're acting like a loser. You're acting like an asshole. You're acting like an idiot. Your enemy knows you're a racist. If you deny it, you are showing weakness. He knows you are lying and you're showing weakness. Then if he makes you renounce your racism, he knows you're a fucking idiot. How are we going to stand up if we cannot even defend ourselves? If we cannot even defend concepts? How are we going to be anything if we say, oh, no, no, a Nazi, I'm a Nazi, but no, I'm not a racist. Oh, man, you might as well go and shoot yourself in the head. How can you, in the same breath, say blacks are so fucking evil and cruel and vicious and things they've done, and the minute that Dylann Roof goes and shoots some fucking blacks, then everyone's like, no, 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 God, no, no. We don't agree with that. Here's Robert Bowers. Robert Bowers goes, pop some Jews. We all know what a bunch of fucking scum the Jews are. We know what they've done to countries, how they've destroyed and ruined dozens of white countries, civilizations, even empires. And now we run around, oh no, no, a Jew, that he killed 11 innocent Jews. Now we're all in panic mode over it. What the hell is that? Okay? We whites are far too easy to divide. I had somebody write me a thing the other day. The guy said, how can you support Robert Bowers? How can you say all Jews are bad? I said to him, listen, the Jews are our racial enemies. They've been our enemies for hundreds of years by their own admission, okay? In order to support Dylann Roof and Robert Bowers, we don't have to go and get guns and go and shoot somebody. Firstly, we're not brave enough. I'm not brave enough. You're not brave enough. But hell, the least you could do is at least say, hey, I support what my brother did, man. He went and popped some Jews. The Jews have been popping us. They're busy destroying us all the time. He went and did something, you know, 1488 to him. Whites come to me and they say, oh, you know, we whites, we are not capable of unity. The reason you're not capable of unity is because you will not stand by somebody who does do something. It's as simple as that. If somebody goes and takes a huge risk on our part, we didn't even ask or support Dylann Roof or Robert Bowers. We didn't give them money. We didn't aid them in any way. But they went and they were creative and they did things by their own means, by their own very limited means. And we are not even able to morally stand by them. That is pathetic. That is truly pathetic. So you mustn't ask yourself why we aren't moving forward. if we cannot even stand by our own people when our own people do things, if we don't even have the moral integrity to stand by another white person, then what the hell are you involved in this for? Then clearly you are not serious. And clearly the websites who promote these things are not serious. And the people who are talking about these things are not serious. If we are doing these things just for entertainment purposes, then please state it on your website. We talk about Adolf Hitler and the Nazis and the killing of Jews and the hating of Jews, but we do it for entertainment purposes only. We have no desire to change the world. We don't really believe in white people. We don't really believe in these values. We don't really want to win. When Nelson Mandela was asked about their cruel methods of dealing with blacks, necklacing and things like that, terrorism, Nelson Mandela said to them, "Any means that destroys apartheid is moral. Any means that destroys apartheid is moral." That was his statement. End of story. Now, if that is the kind of enemy that we're up against, and if we are not able to have the same kind of speech, then we will never be able to face such an enemy. We should be saying, any means to combat the Jew is moral. Any means. If somebody were to poison a Jew tomorrow, or somebody else were to run over a Jew with his car tomorrow, we should say, absolutely cool, brother. Well done. That is the way we should approach our politics. We should say, any means to combat the Jew or any means to defend white people, any means to defend our race is moral. That is how we should be approaching this. So if they say, oh, well, you know, he went and shot these people in church, you know, Bowers killed these Jews while they were praying, and Roof was killing these blacks while they were praying to God and reading out of the Bible, then all you do is you show them the church in South Africa where over 1,000 white people were, where the blacks came and they threw hand grenades into the church, where blacks were throwing hand grenades into the congregation, into the whites. People's legs were blown off. They came with AK-47s shooting into a white church. If that was okay by Nelson Mandela's standards, then that should be okay by our standards. Why are we concerned? Why are we concerned? Why do we allow the enemy to have tactics and methods that works for them? And by the way, these blacks who do these things, they are not called terrorists. The Jews and the liberals called them freedom fighters. We should say, no, we don't think that Dylann Roof's a terrorist, because actually he isn't. He isn't actually a terrorist, because he wasn't using terror as a mechanism. Dylann Roof was actually an assassin. Dylann Roof and Robert Bowers were actually assassins. That's what they were. They weren't terrorists. They were white men who were assassinating our enemies, and they were doing it for political reasons. And that is exactly what the blacks in Africa were doing. The blacks in Africa were, they were using terrorism, torture even, hideous torture as a method of spreading their political message. If we whites don't show a determination to spread our political message, to support our own people, then we will never stand a chance against our enemies, for whom any form of trick, lying, murder, killing, torture is quite acceptable. If you have an enemy that has got absolutely no moral and ethical boundaries, which is what we have in these Jews and in their communist spawn, if they have got no ethical and moral boundaries, then we also need to understand that there are going to be times when we need some people on our side who also have no ethical and moral boundaries. We need to be able to show that we are serious about our stuff. So it is utterly self-defeating to call these people false flag operations and things. Totally self-defeating. You might as well take a gun, put it to your head, blow your own brains out, because the moment that you call everything a psyop and a false flag and the government did it, then that is just so self-defeating. Because not only are you undermining your own message, you are undermining your own audience. You are breaking down the morale of white people who believe in you. You are breaking down white people who believe in our message. Suddenly we run and we abandon people on our side. And suddenly we're in a state of panic and we can't handle these things. What about maybe the other possibility? The possibility that our methods of educating people are successful. That in actual fact, look at a guy like Dylann Roof. He wasn't radicalized for long, and then he was already on his way. If you look at Robert Bowers, he was radicalized for an even shorter period of time. And he went and he did his thing. Why don't we look at things the way they really are and say to ourselves, hey, aren't we damned good at spreading our message? That you know what? We have power. Yes. It's not that we are powerless, but we do have some power. And guess what? When we talk, words can have meaning. Alex Linder has pointed out that the Jews say that the Goyim can be fooled because they regard words as the same as actions. And so we see Donald Trump, he uses all the right words, but he never gets round to the right actions. Okay? So that is a common feature in the modern day, but that is not what our race is about. Our race is the opposite. Our words are meant to be congruent with our actions. Our words are meant to be in line with what we say. We don't like hypocrisy. We don't like a person who says one thing and does another. We try and aspire to see to it that our words and our actions are congruent. The Jew is the complete opposite. His words are the opposite of what his actions will be. His words are the opposite of his intentions. But in our society, in our civilization, in our truth-seeking civilization, which has carved the way for all of humanity, in our system, the only thing that does work is when words are congruent with actions. That what we say is what we do. It is also a part of our very high trust society that we live in. We are able to function and achieve things because of very high levels of trust, which Jews don't have, and blacks, I assure you, they don't know what that means. High trust is a very important part of our society and our culture, and it is one of the most key things that has given us an edge over others. Trust and truth go hand in hand for us, and these are the most important things. Truth should be the God that we worship, bar no other God. That is how important the truth is. The truth is everything. So why don't we say to ourselves, hey, we can take people who are liberals and libertarians and we can turn them into Jew-hating Nazis who run for their guns and blow some Jews away. Now, doesn't that show you that we're damned successful? that we're a force to be reckoned with, that we didn't have to go and create an army, but people in our ranks listened to us, believed us, trusted us in high trust fashion, that is white, yeah? And based on trust alone and racial knowledge, these people decided that it was time to go and hurt our enemies. And they went and they engaged in personal self-sacrifice. They took personal risks, a thing that white males are excellent at doing. They went and took personal risks, planned an operation, didn't need an army, didn't need a Jew funding them with billions. With their own meager resources, Dylan Roof had one gun. With their own meager resources, they went and they executed actions that shocked and harmed our enemies and caused our enemies untold pain. And it was fabulous. And if you think about that, then that should show you that, hey, we're not just talking about things. We are influencing the hearts and minds of our people. And some of our people are showing the same kind of spirit that has come through the ages. That same kind of spirit to defend, even if it means you are going to die. It shows you that the spirit still lives in us even now. That among us, hidden in people whose names we do not know, there is a spirit and a desire to win. There is a spirit and desire and love for our race and our people. Why don't we accept that and, you know, pat ourselves on the shoulder and heap a ton of praise on Robert Bowers and Dylan Roof? Heap absolute praise on them. Every white nationalist website out there should be saying, yes, Robert Bowers, thank you so much, brother. This is part of the payback for you fucking allies who murdered Germans for nothing. Fuck you. This is payback to you fucking Jews for breaking the fucking law. And we're showing you that we can break the fucking law too. And you are sitting in your grave, you pieces of scum-sucking fucking shit. Why don't we have that kind of attitude and say, we wish there were many more like them. Alex Linder said that. Alex Linder said he wishes for thousands or millions of Robert Bowers. And we should look and say, hey, look at Dylan Roof, a poor guy. He had his little car. He had his one little gun. He freaking blew away a bloody black senator. Ha! A state senator. He fucking popped him. He popped a fucking top politician and he flattened a few others in the process. Imagine if we had 10,000 Dylan Roofs. Imagine if we had 10,000 Robert Bowers. And we should look at the future and we should say, we want to go from these lone wolves, who are fucking heroes in their own right, absolute heroes of the highest order, and we need to create military forces and cells. We need to start getting groups of guys of 2, 3, and 4 who plan even more intricate operations to go and fuck up our enemies in some way. And it doesn't have to always be killing. What if we got 2, 3, or 4 guys who are exceptionally highly skilled and they can go and steal something from a Jew or cause him to lose money or something like that? What if we had something where somebody goes and harms a Jew where it hurts him the most, which is his bank account? You know, what if we did things? What if we could steal from them? Hey, what if somebody could go and steal $10 million from a Jew? Aren't there guys on our side who can go and steal like $100 million? Hey, and then we start some banks and PayPal and stuff. Why don't we go and do some shit? And do some stuff that harms our enemies, but it's going to be fucking awesome for us. Why don't we do that? There are many, many, many things we whites can do if we set our minds to it. And if you look at this thing as not a psyop, but actual people who listened to us, who showed that they have something in them, when they wanted to tell Dylann Roof that he must say that he's insane and that he must get off the death penalty by claiming insanity, he refused. He showed he had principles. He showed he had courage. He had amazing courage and principles when pushed to the edge. He said, no, I'm not insane. I reject Jewish nonsense. I'm not interested in Jewish crap. I am sane and I am willing to face the death penalty. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Dylann Roof has shown every conceivable principle that we love. And nobody out there is praising this guy. And nobody is praising Bowers. Bowers is the first white man in America to go and kill a bunch of Jews and walk away from it. And he's done it fantastically. Let that be a lesson to American Jews. Of course, the Jews will run around and get high-level protection. A friend of mine was in Poland recently. He saw a bunch of Jews walking, and behind them were two armed guards. Two guards with guns were walking behind them. So Jews are now paying for personal protection. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. It's costing the Jews money. It's still better than leaving the Jews to walk around and just do as they please. If every single Jew in America now needs to hire a personal bodyguard, excellent, excellent. That's fine. Cost them money. Hurt them. The last thing you want to do is cooperate with them and make their lives easier. You want to make their lives more miserable. That's what you need to do with our enemies. Whether they are blacks, whether they are Jews, we need to make their lives more miserable and rotten and difficult and bring more stress on them and break them down mentally. That is what we need to do to these people. These people have been doing it to us, and we need to go and inflict pain on their lives. The pain can be in any form. It can be financial. It can be psychological. I hope that some of them go insane. I hope that they lose their money, that they run away, that they go live in Israel because they are so scared. If we can scare them and do anything negative to them, it's good. The last thing you want to do is love your enemy. You do not love your enemy. Those who want to destroy you, you must work to destroy them. By any means. You can use words, weaponized words, all kinds of concepts, and right at the end of the line, there's always the military side. That you can go and harm them physically. If we want to win, we need to act like a team. Imagine a soccer team or an American football team. The team is there. Everybody's got his position. Everybody knows his stuff that he's got to do. Now you're playing the game. Then suddenly one guy decides, no, fuck, I'm not interested. I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to go sit on the sideline. And he just fucking walks off. You know, the whole team would be absolutely incensed that one person has gone off and is no longer taking part in what they're doing. They'd go to him and they'd be angry. They'd say, what the fuck are you doing? You're busy fucking it up for us. We've all got a game to play. Every one of us has got our responsibilities. Why are you fucking off and sitting on the sideline, you fucking cunt? We don't want you on our team. Fuck you. Now, that's the way we whites should be. We must be a fucking team. And we know, okay, this guy does politics, that guy does that, that guy does that. All right, and then we're going to have another guy who's going to come out of nowhere and he's going to fucking blow away some enemies. And all of us should be saying, hey, hey, that's our guy. You know, in the days of terrorism, when terrorism was big, in the 70s and in the 80s and stuff, when there was terrorism in South Africa and other places, Rhodesia, if some terrorist act occurred, the different black groups would clamor for claiming that they'd done it. Yes, yes, that was us. No, no, it wasn't you, it was us. And so on. Everybody would want responsibility for the act of terrorism. They'd say, no, it was our guy, it was our guy. Many of them would be lying. It wouldn't even be their guy, it'd be somebody else. And you'd see that the Arabs used to do this. The Arabs, the Muslims, they used to also take responsibility for something. Some act goes down, some plane is blown up, or something happens. And the next thing that you know is that, different groups are all claiming responsibility for this one event. So clearly most of them are lying, and only one of them is telling the truth. Maybe even all of them are lying, and the real people who did it aren't even talking about it. But that is how it used to be. And groups wanted to be known as being responsible for that act of violence. Here are us whites, and we are distancing ourselves from our own people. We're distancing ourselves from our own acts of violence. We don't support those who want to fight. You know, and if we don't want to support those who want to fight for us, whether they are the ones who went to Charlottesville or whatever they were involved in, the KKK, you know, every time that you abandon somebody on your side who went and committed some kind of violence, you are just busy breaking down our game. How can we project power? How can we project force if we don't have the mentality to support our own people? If we are easily divided against each other, now one of ours goes and kills somebody, and the next thing is we're all fighting among each other. That is so fucking stupid, man. That is just so plainly fucking stupid. If we want white unity, we have to look like a team, work like a team, and strengthen and praise all the parts of our team. And that includes the guys who are militant. We need to be supporting our people. If we don't do these things, then we're not serious. I can tell you, we're not serious. In this world, we're real power. People who struggle for real power, it's the law of the jungle. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And if you just want to be a vote fag, as Alex Linder would say, if you just want to be a vote fag and just go and vote and vote and vote and keep voting for yet another Jewish puppet or Jew or liberal or some kind of fucking puppet that the Jews have put in place, if that's all that you're willing to do, then you really aren't willing to do much. We must have a much more determined desire to live. If we're going to stand up for our race, we must show a lot more determination. And stop sitting and arguing about stupid stuff. If somebody does something and they hurt some of our enemies financially, legally, physically, morally, we must be praising that, man. We must say to people, we want more of this. We want a lot more of this. And the government in and of itself, needs to be shown that stopping us is not going to be easy. That we are fucking determined. You see, if we just whine and step back, then everyone's going to say, okay, problem solved. But the problem isn't solved because our problems are real and we're not making progress. Why is nobody standing up and saying, you know, this Robert Bowers went and popped these Jews because Jews are constantly fucking white people over. Jews are constantly fucking white people over and preventing them from doing what they want to do. That Robert Bowers had every moral reason to be frustrated and to go ahead and kill Jews on the basis of our politics And yes, we support him. Alex Linder made an interesting point in that video that we did about Bowers. He pointed out that Bowers alone managed to make anti-Semitism and our cause, managed to put it on the front page of every newspaper in America, and the world actually. Robert Bowers, in one shot, made everybody aware that there were whites who hated Jews and were prepared to go and blow Jews away. In that sense, the American adage that there's no such thing as bad publicity is correct. That is quite correct. There is no such thing as bad publicity. And the terrorists knew it. The black communist terrorists knew it. The Jews know it. The Jews live it. The Jews live by publicity alone. They lie through their teeth every moment of every day. But they know it's so important to lie to the masses. They know it's the most critical thing you can do is lie to everybody. All the time. As much as possible. White people are going to have to learn that if you want to win, you've got to be extremist. And don't come complaining. Don't come complaining. Oh, there are no whites who'll do anything. Nobody's got any guts anymore. Really? Go try that out with Dylan Roof. Go try that out with Robert Bowers. They've got guts. They went and did what they did. They knew very well what could happen to them. They knew that by doing what they're doing, it's death for them. And they'll be alone. And nobody's going to come to save them. But they did it anyway. Don't say there's no such thing as white unity, that all whites are useless, that whites listen but don't act. There you've got your examples. There's Anders Breivik in Norway, the Viking who showed us the way. There's that Italian guy who went shooting some blacks because of a white girl who was murdered by blacks, I think. I think they murdered her. Don't say that there are whites who aren't willing to be men. Don't say that there are whites who aren't willing to take risks. There they are in front of you. Don't sit and diss your own race when there are people in your race behaving exactly the way white people should be behaving, being absolutely excellent examples. And don't complain about white unity if you run for the hills every time there's the slightest little thing that absolutely upsets your very sensitive system. If that's how you're going to be, you're not going to fucking win, okay? How are we supposed to wage a war and wage struggles for survival? Oh, no, God, we can't do it because, oh, that white guy over there, that soldier over there, he went and did something he shouldn't have done. And, oh, let's just stop the war altogether because there was one act of immorality committed. You know, if that's the way you're going to approach this thing, then that's a loser path for us. And this takes us back to the cycle, back to where the whole white right wing falls apart, is shattered, everybody goes home, everybody's defeated, all the years of work has been lost. Now we're all defeated and smashed. And we've lost faith in ourselves, faith in our message, faith in our cause. If we want to survive, we're going to have to up our game and be serious about our game. Let me tell you finally, the path that we really should be trying to aim for. And why violence is useful for this. What we need is we need to make it clear to our racial enemies, like the Jews, these black communists, we need to make it clear to them that we want our free speech. We want our free speech and we want it all. We want our free speech, we want our freedoms, we want our constitutional rights, we want the whole fucking lot. We are not going to allow them to come and use political correctness, racial weaponized words, and all kinds of other stupid anti-free speech things to come and shut us up. We want to say what we want to say, and we want to say it in the way that we want to say it. And we don't want to be censored. And we don't want Jews to come and shut us down on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and demonetize us. We want our fucking free speech, and we want it at all costs. I did a short video a long time ago where I said that Nazis need to get their free speech. That National Socialists, white nationalists, the white right, white racists need to get their free speech. And their politics must be normalized. It must be possible for a Nazi to stand up and for a Nazi to go and campaign on his Nazi platform or his racist platform and find his support base and be allowed to take part in elections and politics. It is absolutely important for this movement that if we are to move forward, that our politics must be normalized. That we must be allowed the very freedoms that the constitutions allow us. And we must make it clear, to the elite and the upper classes and the government. We must make it clear that, you know what, if you allow our frustrations to continue, we will have more Dylan Roofs. We will have more Robert Bowers. We will have more Anders Breiviks. That we are not going to be stopped. You are not going to stop us by putting people in prison. You are not going to stop us by shutting us up. We will continue with our politics, and we will continue our politics by any means. We will continue our politics by every conceivable means imaginable. And if violence is the only thing that you're going to allow us, then we will carry out our politics using violence. But our politics will continue with or without your support. That is the way we need to state our message as a group. That we want to win, we want our chance, we will play. Oh, we will always play by the rules if you allow us. And if you don't allow us to play by the rules, then the gloves come off and we will play beyond the rules. So we whites must glorify those on our side who do things, and we should actually be patting ourselves on the back and saying, you know what, as propagandists, as educators, we are getting fucking good, and we are actually motivating people to do things. We are starting to move to new levels. So let's not go and cop out and run away and abandon some of these things that are indirectly our creations. We should pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, look at that. Look at what we're achieving. Look at what's coming out of our team. If we can get lone wolves, then maybe we can begin to gather self-defense forces and military units. We need to make it clear. We'll play by all the rules. All the rules. We'll play by all the rules. But if you use your Jewish bullshit, your liberal elite black communist bullshit to stop us, then the gloves are going to come off and we're going to come and hurt you physically. We're going to physically smash you if you get in our way. And it's very sad that people aren't writing letters to the Department of Justice and the FBI and the White House and saying, we support Robert Bowers. We support these people. And this man is an outlet for our frustrations. He is an example of how strongly we feel about our frustrations. And there will be more of him. Allow us our free speech. Give us our free speech. So what I'm going to leave you with is the final quote from John F. Kennedy, another man the Jews killed. John F. Kennedy said, Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that is the message we must convey to the elite and the upper classes and the legal system and the police. We should say to them, allow us to do our politics peacefully and legally. And don't let our enemies get away with every trick in the book. Because if our politics is not allowed to progress forward peacefully, we will make our politics, our racial politics, progress forward violently. We will see to it that we live, that we survive, and that we prosper, whether you like it or not. And that is how all whites everywhere should approach this matter. We must all see to it that we show our enemies and our friends that we mean business. And we mustn't run off and abandon each other at the slightest little hint of the tiniest little thing. We need real unity, serious unity, unity at all costs. We are a race of people who are outnumbered. We have been outnumbered many times in the past. And what has always worked for us is unity and teamwork. It has allowed us to take on enemies many times stronger than ourselves. So don't forget these lessons. So that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.